greatest threat to Israel exists is our energy crisis. There's little doubt in my mind that some of the opposition to that which must be done create self-reliance and energy independence in this country comes from Arab sponsored financial systems, starting with Ralph Nader. I would not call Ralph Nader a dirty Arab. He was a dirty bastard, but he was not because he's an Arab, but I am convinced that he was subsidizing the Arab. Which is used to pay Jews to work for him.
Is there any other information that you would like to
Well, I ought to tell you about me, which I haven't done.
Okay.
My role in the union, in the nation, my role in this union has always been to help to keep on an even keel our collective bargaining. Let our agreement administration activities, regardless of what title I have had or what responsibility or who the president is, my role is basically constant. It's grown, diminished from time to time. I'm supposed to be the fellow who knows all about the techniques of collective bargaining. Details, problems, what has to be solved, how to solve collective bargaining in our kind of society, in our kind of union, is a very complex thing, almost completely not understood by any section of the public, at least of all by the press. And it would be a volume in itself to begin to the intricacies and difficulties and complexities of the field of collective bargaining, both the development of contracts and their administration. And this has been my forte. This has been my career, it's what I still do. Why, when people ask me what I do, I find it very difficult to tell them because they have no background on the basis of which they can begin to understand.
Would you say that you were one of the first people to become involved in this sort of thing?
Well, not in collective bargaining.
I was among the
first people who was on board in the modern era of industrial collective bargaining. I have been one of the great initiators of much of the administration of collective bargaining. I have been accused of being almost the grandfather of the modern grievance arbitration machine in America, which is the most extensive non-judicial dispute settlement apparatus that exists in any society in the world. People don't begin to comprehend the extent of the basic. Thousands of arbitrators, tens if not hundreds of thousands of arbitration cases have gone through. Well, when some employee has got a problem, complaint, some method of resolving that, he was fired, he was suspended, he doesn't like the scheduling, he thinks his pay is a violation of the agreement, or the wrong guy got a promotion or whatever. So this has really been at the heart of union activities. Other things have been supplemental or incidental to that. In the community, in this community, I've, as a member of the Pittsburgh Housing Association, under Bryn Hubby, almost forgotten name in this community, backed into a part of my career, the way people do, I suppose. When I was AFL-CIO housing director, which really came about because I was in Washington, Phil Murray died, and Walter Luther became head of the CIO. He automatically relinquished his position as head of the CIO housing committee, which he had always been.
Who was that? Who was that?
Walter Luther. As a result, it became logical that the steelworkers' representative in the CIO, James Timmy, our vice president, took Mr. Luther's place as head of the housing committee, and he came to me and said, I won't do this unless you become the director of the committee. So I suddenly became a houser. And then I was a member of President Eisenhower's committee that he set up with 21 cross-section people to review and analyze and propose a new housing program for America. There I became a member of one of the things that came out of that committee, which was ACTION. And I was a member of the board, and I was a member of the executive committee of ACTION for many years, which was the kind of the overall national establishment expression of the whole housing and urban affairs field. When that came to Pittsburgh, due to the interest of basically of Mr. Mellon and I, and it was in that connection that I originally met Mr. Mellon, we decided we ought to have something like this in Pittsburgh. The Pittsburgh Housing Association, which I've been connected with, became the legal base for the new organization, which was ACTION Housing. I became the vice president, which I was until about a year ago, and I became president of ACTION Housing.
You are now president of it?
ACTION has long since disappeared nationally. Gave way to Urban America disappeared. Withered away. So this has been one part of my community activity. I've been active in the Health and Welfare Association, later the Health and Welfare Planning Association. I'm a member of the board. Why? I suppose somebody has to be in their problems. I'm concerned that there be a, what I deem to be a proper labor viewpoint expressed in those councils. So I'm the labor member of the board of directors. For a planning association. I used to be very much connected to the civil rights movement in this community, and we fought a company. Felt that there was a major need to revitalize and rebuild our black neighborhoods, because I felt that most blacks were going to remain in black neighborhoods. And they were entitled to have decent places to live and shop and have recreation and whatnot. Those were the days of Florence Reisenstein, and that was sinful, because even though Florence chose to live in a Jewish ghetto, she couldn't understand why blacks would live in a black ghetto. And what you were supposed to do was make sure that blacks moved out of black neighborhoods into white neighborhoods, whether they wanted to or not. This was very appropriate for upper-class blacks, but had no relevancy to culture of the interests of ordinary working class or ghetto blacks. So we kind of part of company. I remained in some of the national movements. I was a member of the board of the National Committee Against Discrimination in Housing for many years until I just got too busy to do that. I suppose I've been involved in other national community activities. I can't often recall what they are. And I've always been involved in national Jewish affairs. National Council of Histadrut, two or three Israel-related boards. My secretary has a name, but I don't know the names of that.
You may get
the
list
of the boards. And I'm national treasurer of Trade Union Council for Human Rights, which is the Jewish Labor Committee's trade union arm, the only portion of the Jewish Labor Committee's activities, which is represented in large measure by non-Jews.
Trade union of what?
The National Trade Union Council for Human Rights, which is really the Jewish Labor Committee's trade union arm, national trade union, non-Jewish trade union arm. And in recent years, just because getting older, getting less anxious to do all these things, I do less local things about Jewish community, and do some, but not much. Also, I don't have enough money to be invited to do too much. The Jewish community in the United States is corrupted by me. The great leaders of Israel know this. Embarrassed by it, because I think they can do it because they depended on money. It is in the Jewish tradition that anything but money determines Jewish leadership. In the last 30 years, money and money alone has determined Jewish leadership, which has been sharply worse in the past. But this is clearly related to the Israeli needs and experiences. It's inevitable, right from that reputation, that's the way it is. These days you buy your way into which I'm proud of. I'm also actively involved. I've been a director of the American Arbitration Association for many years. One of the more active members of that, because that's a field in which I'm very much involved. And I've been for some years a member of the Arbitration Services Advisory Committee of the Federal Mediation and Conciliation Service, which is an agency of the government. If I become the head of it, it will become even more important.
Is there a possibility of that?
Marie Torrey asked me that on TV the other night. Wouldn't ask me. Answer her.
Right.
So,
you're a very busy man.
I'm busy, but I pace myself recently. I have a tolerant but rebellious wife.
And besides being busy, dedicated, though, to everything that you do do.
I think I am.
Yes, seems that way. Would you... How do you view all your accomplishments, successes, and failures?
I haven't been involved in many failures. Maybe I just back away from them. One of the things I've regretted most is the extent to which the Pittsburgh Jewish community has a remarkable insensitivity to the working people of this area and to the labor movement.
More so than other
more
cities
so
you've
than
been
almost
in.
Any city in the United States. Why, I don't know. I could speculate, but I don't know the answer. Part of it is because, first of all, we have a very wealthy Jewish community. And we have a Jewish community that is very much interested in being involved with the establishment of the community, and there is an illusion in this community that the establishment and the working people and labor are incompatible. In general, there is less labor involved in the community at large than there is in almost any other community. Jewish community is more extreme. You can pick up your papers almost any day and see of some new committee, some new agency that's created, some new study that's being conducted. Look at the names. Rarely is there a labor man. And if there is, it is a very pro forma thing when it's understood we're going to get someone who's well behaved and entangles about his math. This is very uncommon. It is not universal.
Throughout,
it is quite uncommon.
Throughout the Midwest and the South?
Throughout every place in the United States. We are worse than reactionary communities in the South.
Why do you believe that this has happened?
Part of it is the fear of the universities. Recently have the universities become to believe that labor is respectable. And all these things are in play. There have been studies made and written about that, which I don't necessarily always subscribe to, but there's some germ of legitimacy. Allegations.
But your involvement as a labor leader has been great.
Yeah, well, I'm Ben Fisher, number one. Number two, I am doing what I shouldn't be doing. This should be people in Pittsburgh. I'm not Pittsburgh. This is our international headquarters. There's no involvement of our district directors or our local union leadership. Generally, when you do want to turn to labor, you go to the Teamsters, the laundry workers. This is part of the problem. In the public image, because the steelworkers union goes about its business, we haven't had a strike since 1959. We didn't have a significant strike before that, except for four quiet weeks in 1956. 49 to 59. There isn't the same awareness of labor difficulty as reflected in the steel industry as there are, as reflected in the fact that there are pickets at a store or the buses aren't running, they're not collecting the garbage. And thus, the image of the community of what the labor movement is has to do with these very localized services, which really involve a very small portion. Organized work, and man bites dog is new. The fact that the overwhelming portion of the labor was very responsible, very competent, perhaps in many respects the most competent labor movement in America, Centralia, this is overlooked. I notice among my friends a complete unawareness of the world. They just can't conceptualize what a union is, except for the few people among my friends who deal with the United States. There are many. But if you're dealing with the Teamsters or the laundry workers, then this is their conception. And, you know, it's inevitable. You can't get a bus because the buses aren't operating. This means a great deal to you. And I think this helps to create this atmosphere in which you don't look up to labor as a very vibrant, constructive force. Make great contributions.
Yet in this community, it is the force, because without them, everything else would, the economy would disintegrate.
It's the economy. I'm talking about community affairs and political affairs.
In running administration in the city, community affairs.
It's unbelievable. How could you can't go across the breadth of this nation to find a community relations. We call it the Jewish Community Relations Council, that led representation. I doubt if you can find it in the it doesn't even occur to them.
Well, could it be?
And once in a while, when they're in trouble, I invite them. When Bayard Rustin was here for Tree of Life? No, that's short. He was here for, you know, that big series they had. Babe was here. UJF, and we have a few little committees there that kind of private, one of which I'm on, arranged for a luncheon sponsored by Patrick and some other black people who are actually responsible for the Jewish community. So Bayard would talk to the Jewish, to the black leadership about Israel, because you know you have a potential problem. And it happened that I was at a meeting of this little group that was kind of behind this, and I they reported on it. Well, you don't even have to put that on. Anyway, I said, who have you invited? Invited this bank vice president and this head of a department at this university, et cetera, and so on. I said, in the city of Pittsburgh, you're going to have black leadership without a single working man, without a single labor leader. What? It never occurred to me. There was no hostility. It didn't occur to anybody. So, fortunately, there was time enough for me to invite as my guests. So, fellas don't pay $4 for lunch. I invited about 20 local black labor leaders, about 18 of whom showed up, and they would have the audience be there, so they all showed up. But it was amazing. Not that it wasn't done,
but they didn't think of it.
But no one thought of it. This is not part even of the black community. The black community are the blacks who've risen above the black community. That's the black community.
Well, I think you've given us a great deal of your time and your thoughts.
You got enthusiastic.
What'd you say?
I even got enthusiastic.
That's good. That shows that we succeeded.
Yeah.
But thank you very much.
Right, this
thank
was
you.
Good.